Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's a blessing to hear the Word of God being expounded upon. The Spirit of God will make manifest the workings of God in our lives. It's a beautiful scripture there in John. Thank you, Brother Aaron, to the power of God to live like He wanted us to live. Isn't that a blessing? We're not left to try to do all this by ourselves. He's not given us things to do and not given us the ability to do them. Self-control. I think maybe if us older ones could get a handle on this, maybe the children would have a better grip on it too, maybe. What do you think? Know how to possess our vessels. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you all for being here. Got some visitors. Bless you, brother. Welcome. So, I too just desire to have a prayer. Been sitting for a while. You're welcome to stand. Let's stand. Father, we are very thankful for this opportunity to gather here in Your name, hearing Your Word being preached to us. Father, we pray that this will just be a continuation here as the service continues. Father, Your Word is beautiful to us. All the things You have given to us, the Spirit of God witnessing to us, the Word of God sinking into our hearts. And Father, we pray that these would bear fruit in our lives. That You have given us the power. You've given us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to direct. And we're not left without. You've given us all the things, the enablements to live the life that You have called us to live. Where we name the name of Christ, there must be a departure from iniquity. There must be a reaching out and reaching to and going forward in our lives. There must be a realization of the holiness and the righteousness that You want us to attain and live up to. And yet, as we think of these beautiful things, You have not left humanity to fend for themselves. You've not just left them to stumble around in darkness, but You've given them not only light, but You've given them life. And Father, we thank You for that this morning. So continue to be with us in this service. Just a few thoughts we have, Lord. Pray that You would take these crumbs and make it to be a blessing and encouragement to each one of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll step right into the few thoughts that we have here this morning. A few weeks ago, we looked at some Bible teachings on the home. And we stated about the two things that God created. It was His idea in the infinite mind of God that He put them in place. And these two things, the home and the church, are among probably others, but it seems like these two things have been a focal point of the enemy in his attack. And I believe the reason for that is those are two things that are very close to the heart of God, the home and the church. God designed them both. And we should not be surprised when they are attacked, by the devil. Because anything good that God puts in place will be challenged by the enemy. We understand those things. And God knew what He was doing when He designed them both, the home and the church. They complement each other, or they reflect on each other. The church is a reflection on the strength of the families. So we just endeavor to lift up the standard. So last time we looked at the whys of the home. We specified on the home, not the church. But we looked at the whys of the home. And you can listen to that message. It's a felt a little incomplete, and it seems like this one might be the same. So, might just be a continuation here. So today we're looking at the different parts or members that make up a home and their responsibilities. Some of what we heard last night will be reiterated. I did appreciate the teaching last night, the couple's night. I was thankful for that. So bear with me. In a home we have husband, fathers, wives, mothers, children, end quote, servants. We want to look at these individually and what direction the Word of God gives. It may help to listen, like I said, the message from last time, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm not sure. So, it may feel like we're just jumping in here if you have not heard that one. First one, fathers, husbands. First of all, we are responsible for our own lives. The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. We are responsible to our own selves to see whether we are in the faith. Because if there's a question with us, as fathers, as husbands, then how are we capable to lead a wife and or family? That is what we're called to do. Last night we read those verses in 1 Corinthians 11, and I'll just read verse 3 again. I have it here before me. And it says this, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. It was just brought out last night about the order of God, that God is a God of order. And we understand those things. And it's beautiful. We can look into many things in nature that God designed that there's tremendous order. And so why would He not have it in humanity? This is God's ordained order. We have God, Christ, man, woman, then obviously children, and so on. It's God's ordained order. We heard about that order last night. God is a God of order. There's a place for everything, and everything has its place. So do we. Fathers, mothers, children, servants. We all have our place, but if any one of us is not in our place, it causes difficulty. Next, we want to look at husband loving wife. And these things aren't all inclusive. You must understand that. These are just a few thoughts that I have here. Okay, so there's two main points that we want to look at under the heading of husbands. This is the first one. Husband loving our wives, your wives. Us husbands are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 33. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How much, must we ask, did Jesus Christ love the church? What did He all do for the church? You know, these things are a challenge to us. As we think of that picture of what Christ did for the church and what He gave, what all did He give to the church? He gave a lot. And in the end, He gave His life. His blood was poured out for you and I. We're to love our wives in this manner. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Remember, this is how Christ is taking care of the church. And this is why He does it. We think the bride of Christ. Christ is going to have a holy and a spotless bride. And it's up to you and I if we want to be part of that. But this is giving an indication how us husbands, should love our wives and take care of our wives in that way. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. And the whole love thing comes into play here, or picture. How much do you love yourself? We can ask, how much do I love myself? Or how much do you love yourself? You know, we love ourselves a whole bunch. You know, we make sure that we're taken care of. I think of that scripture that Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. He knew that man is going to love himself a whole bunch. And he didn't necessarily discount that, but he said, love your neighbor like that. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You know, the whole marriage thing where two become one. There's oneness. Wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So you can only imagine God in heaven looking down upon the church and seeing what an estate that it's in, and being very interested in what's going on in our lives. He wants a relationship, not only individually for each one of us, but also corporately. He wants a body. He wants a body that is holy and without blemish, without spot. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so are we to do with our wives, to nourish and cherish. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And for this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is our employment, fathers, husbands. We are to cherish our wives. Jesus Christ gave His life for the church. He did not see, or He did not, or doesn't, go about doing His own things. He's not somewhere else by Himself. He's always there for the church. Whenever any one of us is in need or crying out to God in prayer, He's not like Elijah there on Mount Carmel, telling to the others, the idol worshippers, says, call aloud. He may be sleeping. He may be on a journey. He may be somewhere else. He's not a God like that. He's there when we call. He's there when we cry out. He's there to help in time of need. We don't have to wait till He comes back on His journey. He's always there for the church. When do we find Him not accessible? When do we find Him not ready to help? He gave His very life for the church, and we are to do the same. We are called to wash our wives with the Word. We are to lead out in our homes. By the way, it's not by lordship that we lead in our homes. It's by service. It's not do this or else. No. We know that spirit will never work. But if we have pledged our hands and hearts to our wives, we owe her our lives, our affections, our hands, our time, our abilities should be at her service. When we think of Christ doing that for the church and being what it should be for the church, what it is, what He is for the church, I know it's a high calling, and I'm desperately in want here. But this is what it's teaching. But we way too often are too selfishly doing our own things, and have all these justifiable reasons why we don't have time for her. That type of attitude is wrong. She's not to be a helpmeet so I can do what I want. You know, we have enough difficulties the way it is. We don't have to make more. We don't have to make her do our responsibilities. In Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Stop being bitter, or don't make a habit of being bitter towards your wife, is what it's saying. What things could cause this? You know, when things don't go my way, there's opportunities to get upset, get bitter. Here's a good one. Okay, so you have a plan in mind of what you want to do on a particular evening. You're thinking about it off and on through the day, but you never communicate it to anyone. Well, unbeknownst to you, a few others have made plans too for the evening, and some can't really be reverted. So what you were scheming never formulated because you never communicated anything to anyone. And we know that communication is vital in any relationship. And so then, we have opportunity to be aggravated, bitter, get upset because things didn't go my way. Communication is vital, for sure, in a marriage relationship. You know, when we were younger, we spent more time relating. Now it's sometimes a challenge to find time or take time, just the two of us together, in relating and communicating. To plan, to talk, and to communicate. Sure, we talk on a day-to-day basis, but I'm talking about sharing our deeper feelings, emotions, dreams, visions with each other, then purposing to live them out together. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Husbands, we are to live with our wives according to intelligent recognition of the nature of marriage relationship. Honoring our wives as the weaker vessel. Last night we heard about being their protector. A few weeks ago, we were on our way to a prayer meeting Saturday morning, and it's surprising how many stories that the boys and I have on the road to prayer Saturday morning. That's often when the beasts of the night, the animals of the night are out still, and maybe that's why we've had to change so many front ends of our vehicles. But a few weeks ago, it happened again. We were on our way to prayer meeting Saturday morning. I didn't think about it, you know, right at the time, as much as later. We came upon a family of coons. There's a big one, and we passed them pretty fast. So it happened real fast. And they were in the middle of the road when we, almost just off center when we passed them. But there was little ones in a group there. And in the middle was I'm assuming the mama, the big one. And they weren't going fast. The group was just kind of staying together and kind of meandering across as we were coming and passing. But there's one thing I noticed. The big one was very keenly aware of us. And had we stopped and gone out after them, the little ones, she'd have been between you and the little ones. That I'm sure. She would have put her life in danger and probably given her life for the others. The big coon, he even turned to meet us and was very keenly aware of us coming and looked ready to attack if we were to harm the little ones. And I believe the big one would have gave his life. Protector. Just a picture of protection. How we as fathers must be to our wives. A protector. It was ready to protect those little weaker ones at a moment's notice. It could have selfishly crossed the road and let the wee ones find themselves, fight for themselves, or fend for themselves. And we would have thought them very irresponsible. We would have thought that wouldn't have been very good mama to do that. And even when we have some stories about some goats and some calves and some cows that wouldn't take care of their little ones, and there's all kinds of names for those. I know, remember a goat that she had two of them. Yeah, she had two little ones. And for some reason, she did not like the one. And she would take, they were in a cement stall that we made out of a pen. But she would take him and with her horns just slam against that cement wall. So, yeah. We kind of raised that goat, and that was one of the children, that was children's pet for a while. Then, but she would not take care of, she would not take care of her little ones. And we had a cow that did the same thing. You know, those types of things, we didn't have much use for those type of things. We'd say they're very irresponsible. So it gives a picture of not protecting, but we are called to do this. We're called to watch out for our own. We are to honor them as the weaker vessel according to intelligence. Being heirs together, the grace of life. What a beautiful picture that is. When we're together, a picture of father or a husband and wife coming together, being being, there's equality there. There's not a lordship mentality. There's a difference in responsibilities. There's an order. There's an order. Being heirs together, the grace of life. And then it caps it off with that our prayers be not hindered. If we are not practicing the first part about giving honor, the weaker vessel, dwell with them according to knowledge, then be it known to us that our prayers will be hindered. Okay, the next part of this is fathers in relation to children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3:21 says similar things. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." We are not to provoke our children to wrath or anger, but rather bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are responsible, fathers, husbands, to lead out in family devotions, devotional time. We are responsible for the teaching and education of our children. Yes, our wives do a lot of it, for different ones of us, probably most of us. Our wives do the majority of it. But us fathers are responsible to provide and give direction to that. Don't just hand it all over to your wife and say whatever you decide. But us fathers are also responsible for the discipline and the correction and the instruction of our children. And we are to lead as an example by the conversation of our lives. We are to lead an example in integrity. We are to lead as an example in honesty, in openness, nothing hidden. Taking responsibility of our own words and actions. We're to lead out in these things. We're to show them by example. We are responsible for the teaching of godly values, principles in their lives. And we are responsible for the direction of our children. We are responsible for the growth of our children, not just physically, but also spiritually. Let's not force our wives to have to fill in the blanks where we're not willing to discipline our lives enough to do what God called us to do. When I think of these things, and I have needs in these areas, but when I think of the beauty of this, when I think of God's realm, when I think of how He instructed and the things that He provided, and even as Brother Aaron shared about the abilities, the power to live, to do what we're called to do, it's not a drudgery. To do these things, it's not keeping me from all the things that I want to do. It's not that way. I don't even view it that way. We should rather view it as a tremendous blessing from the Lord to be able to have the opportunity to be God's stead for them, to teach them the ways of God. God has given us abilities and the power and the strength to make another one that will do the same in his generation. This is, we want our faith, we want our lives to be a perpetual faith. We want our lives to exemplify, not only exemplify, but continue to, you know, when I think of God's design for us and what the, you know, what's our purpose of being here? What would you answer to that question? What would your answer be to that question? Why are you here in this world? Why did God place you here? We have an opportunity as Christians more than any people group in the world. We have an opportunity to share them the good news of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity like no other. And yet, I think we settle for way too less than what we've been called to. First of all, our responsibility as fathers is to our children. How does it look to God when we are so and I'll be careful when I say this. So hear my heart. When we're so concerned about the lost and dying people around us, and we fail to bring our children up. I think we're missing a link when we do that. I think we're missing a link. I'm not saying the lost aren't important. I'm saying let's do our homework at home first, or along with it. We are responsible. We will give an account as fathers for our homes. Ephesians 6:4 says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Some ways to provoke. And some of these are just drawing things from my own life. So I feel pretty vulnerable and exposed. Some ways to provoke. Demanding things that they can't fulfill to our children. And to our wives. These would apply to our wives too. Some ways to provoke. Blaming them for things they didn't do. Holding them to a higher standard than you and I are living. Criticizing or critiquing everything they do. Now there's a place for positive criticizing. You have to be careful with this. There has to be some positive input, you know, previously. But there can be some critiquing to help along the way if you want to use that word. But be careful with criticizing, critiquing everything that they do. Railing on them as soon as they get within earshot and blaming them for everything that goes wrong is a good way to provoke your children to wrath or anger. Expecting things from them while you're off doing your own thing could be a good way to provoke your children to anger or discouragement. These things will not build close relationship. And when we do this, we're not only neglecting our duties as a father, we are out of order, as we heard last night. When that was stated, out of order, I had to think of sometimes on a gas station pump, you come there and the sign says, out of order. It's not working. Then do you suppose the family will somehow just fall into order? Fathers, train your children. Go after their hearts. Training and nurturing will be harder if you don't have their hearts. If it's just a do this or don't do that, this is no relationship. There's no relationship in just that. Do this, do that. No, don't do this. No, you can't do that. There's no close relationship in that. I want more. I want a closer relationship than just that. We must take our place in our homes. The far greater responsibility of our children rests on us, fathers. We are responsible for their souls. And what will we do? What will we do with these precious eternal souls, really? What is it worth to us? We are telling God, our brothers and sisters, our family, what they are worth to us by the choices we make and the things that we say and do. Take out all the words and the flutter. but we are telling everyone how much we care for them by what we say and do. More than we do than what we say, probably. God has placed us in order over our wife and children. Please let us take it serious. This doesn't mean to let them do what they want. It never helps anyone to always be able to do what we want. We must learn and teach disciplined lives. Admonition speaks of warning, correction. If something is off, it needs realignment. Our vehicles, if they track towards center or the ditch, it needs to be realigned. Correction, so it tracks straight and doesn't pull one way or the other. Sometimes sometimes as fathers, sometimes I need a realignment for my brothers. God's Word. Let's not be too stiff-necked that we can't be adjusted. Fathers, your children should have the freedom to come and talk to you about anything and everything without the danger of being critiqued or exposed. We have too many young people that feel like they don't have a good enough relationship with their parents to be able to go to them with their struggles. Go after your children. Learn to love, cherish, and communicate with them. Don't form a relationship talking about other people and what all they are doing wrong and what you are doing right. That's not a good foundation of a relationship. Don't do this to your wife also. If your relationship is based upon others wrong and we are right, be it known to you that spirit and attitude will also turn on each other. It doesn't bear good fruit. If we see bad fruit in our children, it is probably a good reflection of us dads. I'm going to weigh the heavier responsibility upon us as fathers this morning. It should alarm us enough to do something about it if we see that bad fruit. If my wife and children can never do anything right, they will get discouraged. If who I am and what I do is the definition of right, they will get provoked to anger and discouragement. Again, we are not set over as lords or lordship. We are to do service and help where we can in our homes and lead out. Please don't take this opportunity to point at each other. Rather, may we examine our own lives as we think of turning the page to the duties of wives and mothers. Genesis 2:18 speaks of helpmeet. Make a helpmeet. There's a helpmeet for Adam. You wives, mothers, you are created to be a helpmeet to your husband. 1 Samuel 1:27 is Hannah. states, "For this child have I prayed." The tremendous power of a praying wife and mother. Don't ever discount this, mothers. You have a lot of potential in this area. Praying for your husband and children. This draws you to a new level of friendship when you consistently hold them up in prayer before the Lord. And it just works that way. Whenever you pray for someone in a positive light and you just continue to lift them up before the throne of God, it does something in your heart. It draws you together in your heart. Even maybe not even outwardly, always, right away. But there's something that happens in your heart. Even this whole thing of, when we put brothers in the crosshairs, and all we can see is the negativity, the faults. All we can see we take a highlighter across their lives and say, this is wrong. He doesn't do this right. And that doesn't build up. That never builds up. And so if we change our heart's attitudes in that area, where instead of looking on the negative side and doing all the crosses, we do the same thing in a positive light. See all the blessings that brother is. You know, he's a blessing here. He does this here. And we pray to that end. God will do a tremendous work in your heart. That's for everyone here. But here's the duties of wives and mothers. Don't ever discount a praying mother. You have a lot of potential. Praying for your husband and children. It draws you to a new level of friendship when you consistently hold them up in prayer before the Lord. Yes, the father should be doing this too, to his family. But your mothers have an equal opportunity. You have influence in your children's lives like no other person in the world can have. Capitalize on it. There is no one like mom. She's so tender-hearted and loving. Always there when there is a need and an ouchie and a sick child, a mess to clean up. It comes through as the mother that cares. It's mother that has this closeness, this affection for and to her children. In the headship order, you are to be under and subjected to your husband. Your husband is to lead out. Let him do that. Don't be a manipulator, punching and poking behind the scenes to where if he doesn't respond right or don't do what I asked him or wanted him to start pouting or worse, railing on him of all the wrong he did. This is not an honor subjecting to him. Ephesians 5:22 said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." The same way, you are to submit to your husband as the Lord. The same way you honor and cherish your relationship with the Lord, that is how your relationship should be to your husband. Are there entreaties? Yes. Are there suggestions? Yes. Are there ideas? Yes. But then the choice is up to your husband, as long as it's not violating Scripture. And we assume that's not the case here. It goes beyond likes and dislikes. It's whether it's Scripture or not. We are not teaching submission to any idea that may come. We're teaching it in a way that's honoring to God. Like the church in its response to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, we don't just submit when it is right or when we feel like it or feel like, you know, we like what's stated. We don't just subject ourselves one to another when it feels good or when it's okay with us or when we agree to it. It's all the time. First Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. We hear of stories of husbands or wives, winning the heart of their spouse by their chaste conversation coupled with fear of the Lord. Opportunity to be a powerful influence in the life of your spouse and children. If these few things are in place, you will be a big helpmeet to your husband and a blessing to your children. They will look upon you and call you blessed. We could go through Proverbs 31, but we won't this morning. There are some beautiful teachings in that about a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Can't put a price on it. It's above what we can comprehend, her price, virtuous woman. Us fathers and husbands need to realize what we have and take care of her. If there is conflict in a marriage, often we portray to others that everything is okay. When we are around others, they get, usually, to see the best side of us. Our friends usually see us at our best. Then when we are at home, our guards are down and the real you and I comes out. This is for both husband and wife. That's a form of hypocrisy. And our children pick it up. We are teaching that when we go away, we need to be good. But when we're at home, it's okay for us to stink a little bit. Our children pick it up. We are teaching. But it really stinks with our spouse. You want respect? In that case, you might as well forget it. If we are different at home, then when we are away from home, it will not be a good influence for our children. It will begin a disrespectful attitude. It is also a way of provoking. Our family should see a consistent side of us. And please, don't ever put your family in the need to perform in public quotation. Be on your best behavior now. The Bible teaches us to train up a child in the way that they should go. And I believe that starts at home. Not just somehow we tell them to, you know, we're going to leave now, me and church, you've got to be in best behavior. As true as that may be, please don't hold that over their heads. We as fathers are responsible to have train them at home, not in a church service. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and that begins with our own lives for them to watch. The first to profit from our Christian character, end quote, should be the ones closest to us, spouse and children, not church family or society. I know of a woman, personally, who was doing marriage counseling, all the while her own marriage was struggling. That ought not to be. Okay, so we have children, servants, then it speaks of masters, and I think we'll stop here. So we'll just reiterate here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and be not bitter against them. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the weaker vessel, that prayers be not hindered. Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they become angry or discouraged, but rather nurture, train, teach, bring them along, warn, correct, instruct them in the Lord. Food to our physical bodies is needful for life. And said, so is food for our spiritual bodies. And our children need spiritual food to grow. So let us help them with that as fathers. Mothers, pray for and love your children. Show your children that you love their daddy. Wives, submit to your husbands. Each of us can make it easier for the other if we are both in our place. Orderly or out of order. And I'd like for us to view these as an investment. Maybe this is a worldly term, maybe worldly terminology, but I think you understand what I'm saying. View it not as something I got to get through and then, you know, we'll just make our way through it. But view it as an investment. There's a tremendous return eternally if we do things God's way. It just always works that way. We don't necessarily do it for the return, but have eternity in view as we're doing it. So may we learn to love our wives, learn to appreciate, respect, and love our husbands, vice versa, and continue to work that relationship, that it just continues to grow, mature, come together, build for the kingdom of God. I think that's all I have. God bless you.